Chris, I heard you might have done something interesting for your spring break.
I did. I went to Disneyland.
Just you, right? Disney
Just
adult.
me. I told my family, I said, you know what? I really want to go see Mickey and ride Rise of the Resistance, the Star Wars ride.
That sounds
So
awesome.
I did it. Just kidding. I mean, I did do it, but took the family. Have not been to Disneyland in 20 something years, probably. Have you been before?
I haven't been in probably 20 years too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never been to Disney World. I've only ever been to Disneyland, but that's a West, growing up on the West Coast thing.
Right. Disneyland, like you grew up Oregon, I grew up Northern California. It was a lot more accessible. I have been to Disney World a few times, but that's when I moved Midwest because it's, you know, it's a different vibe. Disney World is like its own bubble. Like I'm sure if you've kept up with the news at all, like the whole Florida versus Disney after the Don't Say Gay
Sure.
laws and all that stuff that
It's like its own country. Yeah.
yeah, it is. They regulate everything, but if you go there, it's kind of nice because it's if you're into Disney or you have kids or whatever it is, they have their own like shuttle system and it's just you can do you live in a bubble there and it's kind of nice. Disneyland is like old school. It's in LA or Anaheim and it's very it has a lot more charm and character because it's like the first park that Walt Disney ever made. So I went there maybe like 3 or 4 times growing up just because it was a flight, couple hour flight down. This is my first time going taking my own children, and it was honestly amazing. They are young, but old enough to like react to seeing characters they love. Just seeing the joy in their face and their eyes was so worth the money to me that even though it's kind of stressful traveling with young children, it was awesome. My parents flew down too, so that helped. And my sister and her kid, but and her
Sure.
husband. But anyway, fully recommend it. It's expensive
That's a,
AF, but it was fun.
yeah, that sounds lovely. How long did you go for?
Four 5 days. Well, we flew down on a Saturday and we came back on a Wednesday, but we only went to parks for 2 of those days. We took a 1 day break in the middle just to hang out and walk around,
Chill.
shop, and go to the pool and stuff like that. Yeah.
That sounds like it was handled well.
It was fun. I fully recommend it. I'm not a Disney adult, but I get why people can be because you just get there and you're just like, oh my gosh, childhood nostalgia. This is amazing. I love it.
Yeah, I get, I mean, I think Disneyland, I have very fond memories and think it was a blast. I totally understand why people go with or without kids of any age. You know, it's just happy, right? What's not to like? Yeah. Well, I did not have a spring break or do anything for that, but we did go to Mexico City in February, and that was a blast. Awesome city, highly recommend. Fantastic food, great parks. Yeah, it was really lovely. Had a
Little
good
different than Disneyland. Little
Well,
cooler.
that's not true. It's fun in different ways, right? Sometimes the controlled atmosphere is fun. Fun in its own way. Yeah. Shall we go ahead and dive in?
Let's do it.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to This American Horror Story, an unofficial podcast about the FX hit show American Horror Story. I'm your host, Tyler Moss, here with my co-host.
Chris, you said, what's up, everyone? Holy cow, part two. We're finally here.
We finally made it. We finally made it to part two. You and I released an episode about episode one of the most recent American Horror Story season recently, and had planned to be more ambitious and do more before this season came out. But I'll be honest with you, Chris. Me and my family has been almost consistently sick for the past month. I think as you well know, you're drinking wine, I'm drinking tea because I am getting over a flu right now. And so it hasn't necessarily been conducive to recording more podcasts. But that is, we'll get back to it. I think probably we'll get back to it after we wrap, Delicate. But here we are, part
Here we are.
two, episode six. Before we dive in, as always, well, for a couple of things. First off, I drafted a little recap of part one that I thought would be helpful for folks, just
Wow.
because, I
Did
mean,
you really? Thank you so much. I came in blind watching this episode, and I wished I'd done that because it's been so long.
I did, and I had to dig to find the details because I was like, oh, I can just go to YouTube and look up Delicate Part One recap. There was not a Delicate Part One
No
recap.
one's watching this.
There was like 10-minute individual episode recaps, but I was like, I'm not going to spend 50 minutes getting caught up on what happened. So
That's a big telltale of how popular it is. You know, anytime there was a lull between any season, a hiatus, whatever, for like say like Game of Thrones or Breaking Bad or like bigger shows, there's always like multiple YouTube recaps, right? Of here's what you missed last season, here's what to expect. And we used to get that from American Horror Story, at least in between seasons, perhaps. Or if there was, remember, there used to be like the mid-season breaks over the holidays. Anyway, I'm just riffing.
I miss shows that used to do that,
Not
like,
anymore.
as pre-roll before you even started the cold open, right? It was always nice to be like,
Yeah.
to get you back up to speed. But so let's dive in really quickly to Delicate Part One,
Yes.
so that way everybody can get up to speed. Before we do, as always, I'll say, as following this episode, feel free to reach out to us at facebook.com/thisamericanhorrorstory, and as always, you can email us at thisamericanhorrorstory@gmail.com with any thoughts, prompts, questions. Love to bring those into the show. But let's talk about the Delicate Part One recap. Of course, the season has followed Emma Roberts as Anna Victoria Alcott, which, we will all know now that we've watched this episode opening night. But she's an up-and-coming actress who's been struggling with fertility issues. The cast includes Kim Kardashian as her best friend slash potential villain, Siobhan Corbin, and Matt Zuckery as her husband, Dexter. The story has largely been about this idea of balancing family and career, a theme that kind of came back through this particular episode. I mean, it's been very
It did, yeah.
blatant in every episode. As Anna gets competing advice from those closest to her, Dexter and her doctor encourage her to rest, focus on having the baby, while Siobhan pushes her to seize this career opportunity, right? Other characters have flitted in and out in ways that we don't fully understand yet, and I think that's still roughly the case as we watch this episode.
Yeah.
Cara Delevingne as the mysterious Ivy, a voyeur in her life who keeps showing up, watching her, who may have been responsible for one of her miscarriages as a imposter nurse.
Right.
There's also the artist Sonia Shawcross, who mysteriously looks like the, facsimile of Dexter's wife, Adeline, or is.
Or is.
There's Michaela J. Rodriguez as Nicolette, the mysterious property manager at the property where Dexter and Anna have been staying. And
The very conspicuous
more conspicuous after this
Nicolette.
episode, I feel like.
Yeah.
Billy Lord and Leslie Grossman as the two Ashleys who run a crisis PR firm, but
Comic
also
relief.
comic relief, also first kind of came on the scene as demons in, medieval England or whatever that was. Julia White is the enigmatic Miss Preacher, whose background we just got in the series finale. And in that episode, we learned that Miss Preacher was in a similar predicament to Anna kind of years ago, where she reveals all this to Dexter's mom. Basically, the idea is that she had to exchange her baby for some kind of a success. She was a fashion designer and wanted to get her bag, I think, like bought and like syndicated by Marc Jacobs, basically.
Yep.
The episode ends with a warning from Miss Preacher that Dexter is in danger for defecting the demon cult's most valuable player. Who's supposed to be Adeline. There's a lot of insinuation that Adeline is part of this demon cult. I think Siobhan, we also now suspect as being villainous. We know that she was responsible for passing the script that this director, who we see again in this episode, made
The
this horrible movie that
auteur.
put her on the scene, the auteur. Basically in the final episode from last season, this is how, we did have this little kind of flashback, is that Anna wakes up to a note from Dexter that basically her primary competitor for the Oscars race has been decapitated in a car accident. And this came right after Anna telling Siobhan she would do anything for an Oscar. And then, of course, immediately getting a phone call from Siobhan and these two Ashleys who,
Very
basically just tell
excited.
her it's an opportunity. And then, of course, Anna is still pregnant, even though it had seemed as if she'd lost the baby. So there's a lot
Right.
of this, of course, came after she kind of had these like hazy, dreamlike state of, basically kind of being worked on by these demon surgeons, I guess,
Yeah.
potentially.
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
yeah, so that's kind of where we're at, I think. Anything major you feel like I've left out?
No, that sounds about right. I guess the only thing to remember is like there's some imagery of the witches, this coven or whatever, dressed in black that have goats with them sometimes that appear, that essentially all the female presenting characters show up in at some point. So there's literally, it seems like there's no regular people in this besides Anna and maybe her husband and maybe Dexter's mother.
I think Dexter's mother, and I think that's, well,
Yeah.
and maybe Miss Preacher, I guess.
Oh, and yeah. But she
Right.
still wears black. Anyway, there's just no regular folks in this.
Yeah. No, she
Oh,
lived.
the one other thing is the woman that the that Dexter and Anna are renting or borrowing the house from.
Oh, yeah, that's
Suspicious
right. Yeah.
AF.
And we get more of her in this episode than I feel like we had gotten in the last couple episodes of part one.
Hence why she's fresh from my memory. Exactly. Yeah.
Right. Well, before we dive into opening night, Chris, I already mentioned it. I am drinking chamomile tea tonight because I'm recovering from being sick. You are at a hotel, and I hear you grabbed a bottle of wine at the bar before kicking off this podcast.
I did. I asked if we could do that and if I'm staying at the hotel. And the bartender kindly said, yes, you can. And so I have a semi Cabernet Sauvignon.
Well, that sounds fantastic. Cheers to that. Would you like to take us
Cheers.
through the cold open in White Plains, New York, in
I
the beautiful
would.
year of our Lord 1988?
Is that what the year you were born?
It was the year I was born.
I knew it. That's I was like, I that was gonna be one of the first questions. I remember when you turned 30, but anyway. So we open in White Plains 1988, and we have a mom singing Rock-a-Bye Baby to a little baby during the daytime. And this mom is played by
Grace Gummer.
thank you, Grace Gummer, Meryl Streep's daughter. Side note, this is the second person connected to a Streep family member who is in this TV show. So we've got Grace Gummer, who's Meryl Streep's daughter, and then in Gilded Age, the woman who appears in the bathroom. So there's an actress in the Gilded Age called Ms. Fish, who I've mentioned, Mrs. Fish, who I've mentioned in this podcast before, who is the woman in American Horror Story Delicate, who shows up in the bathroom all the time, is like, oh my gosh, I love you. Like, and then she
Right.
always breaks her neck and or hits her head and
Right.
actually, heel and hits her head. Anyway, two connections to the Street family. No one cares about that. Anyway, so she's singing Rock-a-Bye Baby to the baby during the daytime. The dad is there on the side, sitting in a chair, reading a book, and he says, that's an effed up song. And, I don't know if you've ever sang this song to your kid, but I have too. And it's like so many children's stories and songs are very morbid and dark. Like, Rock-a-bye baby on the treetop. When the wind blows, the cradle will rock. When the bough breaks, the cradle will fall. Down will come baby cradle and all.
Well, that's why a lot of times that you replace the "Dad will come baby" with "Dada will catch you" or something like that, you know.
I've never done that, and I should do that because it's dark, and this dad thinks it's dark, and the mom says, "Well, do you want to sing to him to the baby?" And he declines. Anyway, he's also read the book he's reading is the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People.
Not a very highly effective husband, but yeah.
Yeah, exactly. He's not being effective as a father in the moment. He doesn't seem like a jerk. He does seem like a dad of his time, as you and I are both children of the 80s who grew up with I mean, I'm not saying my dad was like this, but like this was like sitcom dad type stuff, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, so we transition on the exterior from daytime to nighttime with a good like sound effect. I loved it. And the parents are in their pajamas in the bedroom. The baby seems to be in another room. The dad is still reading his book. And the wife cuddles up next to him and says, you know, and the dad says, you know, when was the last time you showered? And she's like, do I smell? And anyway, she gets into bed and she asks him as he's still sitting in a chair reading, how is this how you thought it was going to be? And he says something along the lines of like, it doesn't feel real yet. It's like a potato or whatever, which is a kind of a common thing when you have a like a very newborn, not in my experience, but like
Sure.
it doesn't like register like this is a human being where I have to take care of. It's just like this sack of potato. Anyway.
Right.
And he asks her about her, and she or maybe she he doesn't even ask her, but she says it's just a whole different landscape, and that she needs to go to the doctor because she has this pain in her leg. It's like a Charlie horse, Anyway, they go to bed. In the middle of the night, she kind of starts coughing and he's just rubbing her back, saying, like, you're okay, you're okay, you're fine. But clearly she's not. And then within a few seconds of her coughing and whatnot, she's not responding. We cut to the hospital and she's on like an oxygen type machine, and the dad is carrying the baby in a baby carrier, like, or these days there's a car seat that you can just pop in and out of your car. Find out that the mom does die, and she has a pulmonary embolism, which is like a blood clot that affects the lung. I didn't look too much into it to see if the Charlie horse, I'm sure it's connected in some
Oh,
form.
I think absolutely that was the
Yeah.
insinuation. Yeah.
Anyway, the doctors are, per usual, have awful bedside manner and say, like, do you want to see the chaplain, to the dad who's literally has a dead, like, it's just horribly done, bedside manner, which, again, par for the course for American Horror Story. The baby's just sitting on a chair and the baby's crying, and then this nurse comes in and starts singing, and it turns out to be, and the nurse is singing Rock-a-Bye Baby, and it turns out it's Nicolette, who is the, in the future, the current house manager of the house that Anna and Dexter are staying in. While Nicolette is singing Rock-a-Bye Baby, she dubs in or subs in the line, and down will come, and then she says, I'm pretty sure she says, Anna, cradle and all. So we get this whole, and then we cut, well, then we cut to it, but we get this whole mesmerizing imagery of this was planned all along, possibly, and they've been on to this family possibly since Dexter's mother, her situation. Anyway,
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah,
it's
I should
I
have
mean,
stopped.
obviously, I don't know that we know before this moment that Michaela, or sorry, that Nicolette was, among kind of the demon coven. At least not that I recall. But I think at this point it becomes pretty obvious. And to your point that it seems like this whole trajectory of her life was fated apparently since infanthood, somehow. And yeah, so that's kind of a revelation. And then we process, proceed through the credits and pick back up where I mentioned previously, Anna waking up to that news about Babette, getting the call from Siobhan. And at this point in time, you almost get the sense, because Anna doesn't really want to pick up, that she suspects Siobhan may be nefarious, but, doesn't seem to really trust her instincts, I guess, on this.
Siobhan has come back and forth so many times, have been like, I'm your friend. And we see this in this episode. And then she does this kind of like not friendly, not friendship
She's kind of an
type
asshole,
of,
yeah,
yeah.
exactly. Yeah, and they're saying like, ah, too bad about Babette, but you're back on the Oscar charts. Not only that, you're going to be the lead speaker at her funeral.
That was one of the few things I wrote down. How funny is that line?
And of course, it requires her to fly, despite her doctor's orders that she'd be on med rest at home. So of course, she, at the pressure of Siobhan, decides to favor the career move. So in the car on the way there, Siobhan reveals that in the speech, Anna's gonna announce that she got nominated for a SAG award, and that Babette did not get nominated,
But
which
she will carry that honor.
it was, when she actually gives the speech, it's more graceful than I expected it to be. She like,
Yeah.
it's about honoring the work of Babette, but I was in my head, I was like, ah, Babette doesn't get the Heath Ledger effect, huh?
She totally, well, most people, well, I don't know. Yeah. The posthumous nomination generally is always in the bag because it's also like the promise of what could have been.
Exactly. It's yeah, there's something about honoring that happens there. But so Anna returns home to kind of an empty home, and I think Dexter's not too like he's kind of in and out this episode a little bit, supposedly, or you would imagine preparing for this new ex exhibition in that's going to be openings that we see later. And the cat leads Anna outside to a brutalized version of this doll, the doll from the kind of childhood show that she was in. That keeps reappearing. Then the cat randomly slashes her across the face. But I guess also
Yeah.
like you pick up a stray cat, that might
Yeah.
happen. right?
Yeah.
She decides to bring the doll back into the creepy bassinet in the basement, which is not totally clear, why that's the case either. But when she's down there, she notices, it seems, well, it's hard to tell. It was hard to tell for me. Does she notice that there's a camera there then, or does she remember there used to be a camera and there's not one anymore?
I think she notices that there's one there now, is what I, again, it's been so long since we've seen it, but since we've been with the in the house a couple of months, but I, the way they lead to it is like she remembers the, or we're reminded of the cameras in the house because we look at them a few times,
Yeah.
and then we go down and then she notices them there, and I cannot tell you if I remember if they were there before. I think we're supposed to recognize that they're something new.
Right, and that's what she goes to talk to Kamal about and later tell you as well. Meanwhile, oh, okay, never mind. Dexter's meeting out meeting his gross dad right now, while,
Yeah.
Anna's getting back home.
These are so, he's such a caricature.
He is very misogynist, also anti-woke. Maybe he's the 20, 30 years on version of the dad, of the stereotype of the dad that Anna had, right? The actor who plays him is Reed Birney, who, do you recognize him from any past shows?
Oh, tell me. Like he just seemed familiar, but I couldn't, I didn't look him up. Who is he?
He was VP Donald Blythe on House of Cards.
Oh,
I think he was a
interesting.
recurring character. He also was on Succession. I recalled him vaguely, but did not remember the role his character played.
Okay. I
Yeah.
didn't watch it, so like people hate me for that, but
What?
it's
Oh,
okay.
you can't admit
No,
that
I know.
publicly.
No, I know. My wife watched the entire thing and I watched a few,
Really?
I watched like the first like two or three
Oh.
episodes. I was like, okay. Eh. I know I'm wrong. I know I'm wrong. I
I
know
mean,
I'm fully wrong.
people
I
don't
just
love
need
the
to do it.
there's some people that don't love to watch shows where they don't like the characters, and there's some shows where you don't like any characters,
Yeah,
and
but
character development.
I watched Breaking Bad, so like I'm into it.
But you emotionally connect with Jesse in Breaking Bad.
That's
I can tell.
true.
Yeah.
There are, yeah. Anyway.
But the dad's basically picking up a conversation that had happened in the last in the end of part one, where I think Dexter and his mom were walking on a beach and she was encouraging him to testify against the
Against,
father.
right.
The dad just tells encourages him not to testify and just keeps telling him how his mother's batshit crazy over and over. And also is shitty enough to indicate that Adeline was better for Dexter than Anna and kind of dismiss her too. So overall, not totally sure why he was around this episode, except to just be colossal caricatured asshole.
I mean, I think he's there to help. Well, toward the end of that conversation, he says, you know, don't worry, it won't be around for long or something like that. And that sets up what we find at the end of the episode with the mom in the bathtub.
Yeah, that's true. So maybe that was foreshadowing. I didn't even think about that. I was still thinking about the fact that at the end of episode five, she like runs into the demon cult
I
on the
know.
street, right?
This is why I'm like bummed out about her, because she seemed like a very interesting character, and then obviously at the end of this episode, and we're not spoiling at this point because you've seen it, but
She's dead.
she's dead by apparent died by suicide in the bathtub, slit her wrists.
Right.
But obviously there's probably gonna be more answers to that, and it's not going to be as straightforward as we think it is. But the dad makes it seem like he's in the know that things will be solved or
Yeah.
resolved in some form, so he's suspicious
Yeah.
now.
Yeah. Maybe he's made a brokered a deal with the coven too. Anna is awoken again. I feel like there's a lot of scenes of like her being woken up in a start in this show. This time by Nicolette. She says she found, of course, a doll of her now. I don't know that we know whether it's the same doll that was in the basement, but she found a doll of her of Anna on her doorstep. I don't know if we can necessarily trust this because given what we now know about Nicolette, I don't know that we know if she's a reliable narrator.
Definitely not.
But we also learned that Nicolette has an affinity for Felix, the stray cat who doesn't like Anna. So, something fishy going on there too. Meanwhile, I thought for a minute that maybe Anna did something like put like a geo tracker on the doll to see if it like was getting moved around by itself or something. But
Ooh.
then I realized that she was just dropping pins at the places she's found them. And of course, the image that shows up on Google Maps is a pentagram.
That makes sense. I I mean, which is like, really? Okay. Like, that's not a bit, it seems like it's a time wasting type thing to get to stall before we get to our reveal of more things. That being said, I did not know that was what it was doing, because I was like, oh, she's looking at the placement of where the wounds are on the doll, and it was gonna reveal something, and then
Yeah.
I see what was like what you just
Because I think that's why she asked Nicolette where she lived, because she was going to drop pins in all the places where they were at, right?
which we get a sort of a cut to Nicolette opening the door and seeing the doll on her stoop, which
Believe.
I don't trust. I mean, also that's a big ass house. Like,
Yeah.
she was an hour away. Obviously, we know Nicolette's not trustworthy at all, because she's one of the in the coven. So.
Right, exactly. Also, we start to see more weird dynamics between Nicolette and Anna, as you know, Nicolette kind of pressures her to take a dip in the pool. She ha weirdly has claws pop out of her stomach. Things again, I think it's a vision,
And
but
we think
like
it is too.
later, we think it is too. But you know, I think we end up seeing like the four talon marks there, later.
Yeah. It was very Freddy Krueger, Nightmare on Elm Street, when Nancy's in the bath and like Freddy's like claws come out in the bubble bath and it like comes toward her in a way. It gave me
Oh
that vibe. An homage to that.
yeah, I like that. And then out of kind of unclear reasons, after that happens, Anna runs to Dexter to apologize for seeming so, you know, I guess unhinged lately or something. You know, I think in toward the end of the last episode of part one, we see them kind of get in a big fight. So this is supposed to be a little bit of reconciliation, I guess. They seem to
Right.
rebond a little bit, as Nicolette like kind of spies on them from outside. But we do know that we learn again that, and Anna's forgotten, of course, that Sonia's new exhibition is that night. So she's got to go be in attendance.
Yeah, don't forget everyone. Like, Anna was having some like time slipping happening where she would like miss like days or weeks at a time, but that's not happening as much anymore. But we did get one moment of like, oh, that's tonight. Like
Yeah,
we're
seemingly
back to
something.
normal.
Right. On her way to basically, before she leaves, I guess, for the exhibition, she does take a detour to go try to find Kamal and have him confirm that there's no cameras, or there's not supposed to be any cameras installed in the basement,
Right.
which obviously is something she then picks back up with Talia.
Right.
We do have a little bit of a flash to a different scene. It's happening on the roof deck of potentially,
Oh,
I guess,
yeah.
Siobhan's like
Someone's apartment
publicity firm,
complex.
maybe, or
Yeah.
her apartment
Or,
complex,
yeah.
where the director comes to see her, the auteur director, and he,
Hamish, I
Hamish,
think.
and you know, he has this whole moment where he throws the script in the fire pit in kind of a, I think it's supposed to be kind of a comedic moment, because it doesn't, what does it
Yeah,
do?
even
He's like, it's
Siobhan's
symbolic.
like, you have a digital copy of that, so I don't know.
You know, he threatens to go to the press and tell them everything, but he does also, at this point, he is also kind of insinuating that he's going to commit suicide, because he does say something like, I can't go on with, like, with this, you know, lie anymore, or something like that. And then Siobhan, of course, delivers the impactful line at the end of the scene: in show business, no one does the right thing.
I don't I took it more as he was just trying to go clean, but deep down, not deep down, on the surface level, I think we knew that Siobhan probably has something to do with making him die, because he's choosing this route to expose the coven and making it look like he died by suicide.
I think that's probably right, especially now that we so directly associate Siobhan's efforts with Babette to her death, right? Or
Yeah.
her comments about Babette to her death.
Oh, this is like, I'm already like wanting to go off on like my issues with this season. Like, it's fun, don't get me wrong. It was fun to return to this, but let's continue.
So a couple things happen at the opening. One is that there's a confrontation between Anna and Talia. You know,
Finally.
Starts with talking about the cameras, you know, transitions to Talia basically kind of lording over Anna for all the things she's done for Dexter, and you know, them letting her have the house. And we go all the way back to having Talia suggest that she was the one that effectively set up Dexter with Anna. And it's kind of coming, it made me think back to the whole Nicolette thing at the beginning of this episode, where it's like, Talia's in the coven too. She plays a role in coordinating her coming together with Dexter, kind of thing.
Everybody in the
All the, all the,
coven.
all of this was orchestrated, right? Everything was
Yeah.
orchestrated, apparently. It was all made, or supposed to be. Back in the bathroom again, more bathrooms at award shows and art openings. Anna's approached by that same woman from, I don't remember if it was the Golden Globes or the Gotham Awards,
Gotham, I think, yeah.
who fell over and died when Anna barely touched her. Excuse me. But this time, instead of staying dead, she gets up and calls Anna a stupid bitch and kind of comes walking at her in a creepy way that definitely felt reminiscent of like other kind of horror movies. Especially like maybe they like scenes in the bathroom because the lighting is always kind of dim and funky,
Bathrooms are inherently spooky when they're empty, too,
Yeah,
regardless if
big
they're
and empty.
fancy or if they're spooky, like trailer, gas station ones that are in the middle of nowhere. They're always
Flickering,
going to be scary.
whether it's flickering lights or they're
Yeah.
big and there's a lot of spaces to hide. Yeah, they are creepy. But yeah, this time she comes back to life. It's some kind of vision, but Anna sneaks out of the room. The person who's knocking on the door is Ivy. She freaks out at Ivy, who pretends to not know anything about her. Sonya comes over to comfort her, seems to be the only one offering her any empathy. Weirdly, kisses that zit on her face.
Kisses all the boo-boos away, like her red hands, because that she's trying to wash out, this cat scratch and the zit.
Well, and so as she take like I was thinking right here is like, is the twist here going to be that Sonya is actually a good demon because she was supposed to be this
That's
defector,
what I was thinking, yeah.
And Sonya offers this gift of a painting to Sonya that looks very much like a womb, I think.
It was giving me the vibe because I think we were hearing like rockabye music in the background, and it's obviously a very like red, like evil red. But there, like when I was looking at it, there was the shape of like what is sort of an infant and possibly a mom's arms, like rocking it, but like with a very blood red color. So it's offsetting, off-putting. But it could also be like, I mean, it's art, so it is what you see in it. But I saw it more as like the cradling of a baby.
Okay. I didn't look at it that closely, so that's quite possible.
That's okay.
Shortly after that, Dexter gives a toast thanking Anna and
Anna's
notes
mother.
Anna's mother, who's mysteriously absent, which we put a pin in for now.
Yep.
When a loud clapping happens behind Anna, she suddenly comes, it ends up being the lady that she knocked over in the bathroom. She suddenly becomes surrounded by Sonya, Ivy, Nicolette, who I don't think we knew was going to be attending this event,
No, so it's like
and
what's
Talia.
real and what's not. I'm not sure.
They're all wearing those spiky green shoes. They kind of do a weird like dance around here. Like at this point, I was definitely thinking this must be in her head or like Dexter's
Yeah.
hypnotized or something. Because he like, why would he just let this happen? Because I don't think he's in on it, but I guess we don't know. Maybe him and I don't know. Like we can hypothesize about this at the end. But I was like, don't they wonder why Nicolette's there anyway? Also, I was just like, oh, is this just what rich people in the Hamptons do? It's not weird to them, they just have weird like cult rituals. But Siobhan pulls Anna out of her daze, and that group is just having a fun casual conversation over at a side table. Realizes that Anna seems to realize Anna's in some distress, takes her out to a restaurant. She tells Siobhan that, like, again, she feels like she's losing it, she's
Wants
gonna
to
quit the
quit.
Oscar run for again, and this time Siobhan straight up slaps her across the face. She's like, don't you dare do that. And at this point, like, Anna's just not seeing the signs or ignoring the signs willfully. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I also want to point out she says, "Are you eating a bone?"
She does say that. And then she also says, is this what your mother died for? Which harkens back to, the beginning.
Exactly.
And then it has this whole kind of monologue pushing her that she shouldn't give up her dreams just for a child.
Oh
And of
yeah,
course,
I did write that. This is one of the things that I wrote down. Can I read it?
yeah.
Okay, let me pull it up. So she says, Like, we live in a world that says it's fine to give up what we love as long as we're mothers. And the reason people want or other people want that is because they want to get rid of the competition. I think that used to be true, and I think it is sort of true, but I also think that has changed a lot. And I'm not saying that doesn't exist, because women are just, I'm not blanketing saying generalizing anything. Women are have to deal with so many much more issues of juggling careers and families or choices, whatever they want to choose is awesome. But I do think that there's more space for that these days with millennials and Gen Zs to allow you to take your time to do whatever you want to do. This feels like a very Gen X feeling to me, or sentiment.
Perspective. Yeah. Well, funny enough, I think it's written by Gen X because I think this episode was written by Bradley Bucher directed. This episode was written by Ryan Murphy himself, Brad Falchuk, and Hailee Pfeiffer, who I think has already written some other episodes this season.
I think she did that, all of them. She's done most, like, all of
That's
them.
right. That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Then they're in the restaurant, which, it's not, it becomes a thing on the news that the auteur director died, which I guess would be news because also he's probably just, on the brink of being nominated for an Oscar and all this kind of stuff. So it's kind of a big deal. Of course, Anna's distraught. Siobhan is nonplussed. And as Siobhan goes to get another drink, it's kind of a weird restaurant where you also have to go to the bar to get a drink. Anna reviews her card for Miss. I don't know that we knew it's from Miss Preacher when she got it before. I think it was like in her room with like the lipstick
But you and
veneer.
I knew it probably was.
Yeah, exactly. And she's kept it in her purse apparently because it's got that phone number on the back. And finally, she's decided to call the phone number. Not only is it Miss Preacher's in the restaurant with her, and she goes to talk to her in person at like three tables back.
And Preacher goes, "Wait, not here." I'm like, well, why is your
Why'd you
phone not
phone?
on
Why'd you?
silent? Yeah. What are you doing, Preacher?
Oh,
Come
Preacher,
on.
she's not a very effective savior for Anna, if
She's
that's what
also
she's.
very another conspicuous person. Like, come on.
Use that Marc Jacobs money.
Yeah.
And the episode ends. That's the end of Anna's story for tonight. She's apparently off somewhere with Miss Preacher because she's not home, it seems, when Dexter gets home. He's walking to the front door and the blood starts dripping on his phone as he reaches the front door, runs upstairs, and presumably he's thinking he's going to find Anna because she's kind of been in a bad mind state lately and obviously kind of was broken down a little bit at the opening. But he runs upstairs to find the bathtub flooding with blood. And with wrist slash, we find his mother in the tub, which we'd already talked about earlier. But on the mirror, there's a message in lipsticks, and they're like, "I tried to warn you." Presumably that message is intended for Dexter.
I think, yeah, it's unclear. I was curious who wrote that. It was a message, I assume, by her, but also we've seen lipstick written for Anna in messages, like Preacher.
But that was Preacher. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
Yeah.
so I think it's unclear at this point, to me.
Right. And that's a wrap on the episode. So,
Yeah.
what if we reflect back, like what happened in this episode? We learned Nicolette's somehow involved. I think we, as part of this coven thing, and that this situation that Anna's in has been like more organized by these witches since even the time of her birth, right? It was like, it's. I think at one point I thought like maybe it had to do with Dexter, like, the fact that maybe Dexter was the one that was being
We
targeted and
were
her
thinking
relationship with
about
him.
that. Yeah, we were thinking about that, like, in part one.
Right.
I the cynic in me about this show says that they're just treading water and making more, like, let's do another flashback to look at this person, how they're connected. And but it, I don't know if it advances the story beyond. I think at this point we know, like, pretty much everyone's in this coven, or they've sold their soul to the coven. Like,
Right.
this is this whole world, and there's nobody who's not involved in this at all, which kind of sucks
Maybe
because
Dexter.
maybe Dexter, but he's still connected to it because of
Yeah.
his mother who's
Yeah.
seeing things and his wife.
Yeah.
And he sucks as a husband. Sorry. No, not sorry. He sucks. He's
No, it's
awful.
just yeah, the husbands, there's just different versions of bad in this episode in terms of
Yeah.
husbands. I mean,
He's awful.
there's Anna's dad's version, there's Dexter's dad's version, and Dexter kind of masquerades as being more empathetic and more like a modern man, but also is like totally dismissive of
Yeah.
his wife's,
Yeah.
stuff she's gone through.
The plot points of Nicolette being one of the in person in the coven. I mean, I think we know it at this point. The Easter egg of the flashback to Emma's birth is an Easter egg fan service type thing to me. It's not, I don't know how that advances beyond, like, I think, I mean, if you're smart enough, you know that she's probably involved because she's like in part one, last episode, she's watching Anna eat a raccoon. Like,
Everyone's being very creepy and
yeah.
kind of like manipulative, and yeah, so you can't trust any of the characters
Yeah.
really.
The most mysterious person is the artist who looks like the old wife.
Yeah.
Like that is, she's the most interesting character to me at
Sonia.
this point. Sonia, thank you. She's the most
Yeah.
interesting character to me because I'm especially with the kissing and stuff, but then she shows up on the other side. I'm very intrigued about what her role is.
Well, before we talk about that, I guess then,
Yeah.
do you know what you want to review this yet? And also, did we say blood vials? We didn't see the blood vials in this episode, but
We
we have to remember
didn't.
that like Shaban has also been passing
Oh, like the
like strange
before what, yeah, the
vials of blood to Anna and pretending that they're, not something that is going to totally fuck up her pregnancy,
we
even though
can
Shaban doesn't seem to give two shits about her pregnancy.
Siobhan sucks.
I
I'm
mean,
like
but
Kim
also
Kardashian's
like
doing a fine job, but
Anna's also very willfully ignorant about
yeah, Anna
Siobhan
sucks
and
too.
everything,
I
so.
yeah. Again, another part of the story that bugs me is like she waffles back and forth again. I'm like, do I want this? Do I not? I mean, you just committed your life to like the devil last episode. Come on.
Yeah.
Well, we can change it to something else for this episode.
Yeah, part two. It's a whole new world.
How
Because
about
there.
like Barbie pentagrams?
Ooh, I like Barbie pentagrams. Okay, how many Barbie pentagrams? Well, to you.
Yes. Or Anna pentagram. Barbie Anna, whatever. Barbie, we're gonna call them
Yeah,
Barbies because it
I
rhymes.
know. I get what you mean.
You know what I mean? I would give this, I'm gonna give this 3.75. No, 3.5. 3.5 Barbie pentagrams. I was actually very excited to be back. I enjoyed it. It was fun. I'm being kind of a little negative in the review because I'm reminded of like, oh, all these character beats that we've already hit multiple times before. But it was fun to be back in certain moments. The moment in the bathroom was kind of fun because it harkened back to something else, but it advanced that story that happens. And it's like you and I are talking about, it's spooky. I do like the idea of all the characters starting to come together in a location, even though we can't trust if they're all there act like real in reality or not, at the art gallery. And the introduction of Sonya's possibly good witch, but maybe not because she's with them. And what maybe that's like the dichotomy of the old wife, the one who died,
Yeah.
and then the new version or the one who is her doppelganger. Like there's something there that is, I think, going to be revealed at some point. So that was the part that mostly like advanced something to me. Everything else was just kind of like, we could have done this in like three episodes ago. So
Yeah.
three and a half Barbie pentagrams is what I give it. What do you think?
When I think about what this episode advanced in the story, I guess, Dexter's mother passing away, although we don't really know how that's going to advance the story yet, but it was like something significant that happened, right?
Yeah, good point.
I guess learning about Anna's past, maybe, and the fact that like this was a whole thing since her birth, although again, like not unclear, those both seem pretty like relatively small things. So much of this episode felt to me like a repetition of pieces of past episodes. Like, there's the moment where she's out in the yard. There's the moment where she's in a bathroom. There's the moment where she's freaking out at an art gallery opening.
When she wakes up.
Yeah, Siobhan's out on her patio with the director. Like, oh, and Amy's
Siobhan says,
passing,
I'm
I
your
guess,
best
apparently.
friend. And then she's
Yeah.
not.
Well, yeah, and yeah, and then like, yeah, her getting started with wake time and again. It's like, I think part of that might be like a stylistic decisions to like have us feel like we're kind of losing track of time and things are, we're feeling a little crazy with the progression of things, but I don't love it. I
Yes.
don't love that. I don't love that approach to the style. And I guess we say Anna's finally connected to Miss Preacher, but the whole point of this preacher connecting with Dexter's mom. I guess potentially that led to her whatever she, her dying, but the threads are just not clear yet.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give it maybe a 3.25 pentagrams, just because I'm feeling a little frustrated with it. And she's still picking at the zit in the mirror.
Not put enough concealer on it.
Having the same conversations with Dexter, having the same conversations with Siobhan about you made this exact point, like, do I go, do I not go? I'm trying to think about what the end of this is. I
Oh,
think, I mean, Anna's gonna have her baby and it's probably gonna be taken away, I
yep,
guess.
we know that.
So that's coming. And the thing that really the biggest, you said this too, that Adeline Sonia storyline is the biggest question mark, because if she's some demon defector, why is does she seem so friendly at the art gallery with Talia and Ivy and Nicolette and everybody like that? Because that, if she's a defector, you'd think, and they were supposed to be angry with her, you'd think they'd be at odds of some kind. Is this all some ploy where, like, Sonia as Adeline maybe couldn't get pregnant or something like that? So, like, her and Dexter are going to raise this demon baby together, and they're just using Anna as a vessel. But then, if that happened, like, why did they peg her from birth? You know what I mean? There's a lot of questions. But I do think, when I think of, like, what's the most enigmatic piece of the story left for me, I think it's that. I do think it is around understand, like, getting, and I really hope we do get some clarity around what's happening there, because that, to me, that'll be the most satisfying way for this to wrap.
I also hope that that stray cat just doesn't get eaten and lives.
Yeah, that'd be great for that cat, even though he scratched Anna's face.
Yeah. I do agree with you on all everything you just said, though. Where does this end? How does this resolve? I don't think it's going to fully resolve. I think it's going to be classic American Horror Story where it's going to be mostly kind of like, oh, that sucks. Like, Anna's obviously going to get the baby taken from her, and but it's going to be what is the aftermath that's laid out there. The coven, I think, is not going to be taken down. I think it's going to move on and do its own thing in the universe of Ryan Murphy, and maybe eventually connect with the other coven, and that would be something that everyone will want to see.
They'll have
But
a battle of the covens.
yeah, I don't think Anna's going to have a happy ending.
No, maybe she'll end up like Miss Preacher, wearing like black robes and
Yeah.
trying to deter the next person from,
Yeah. Yeah.
getting taken advantage of.
Preacher's not doing a great job. She's like,
No,
not
not.
here. Girl, you've been trying for months.
You're not very convincing, and you're
Yeah,
also like
you're creeping people out. Just
Yeah, exactly. When you're like sitting in a tree in the woods and stuff like that, that's not the
yeah.
best way to like get somebody to talk to you. So, yeah, plenty of opportunities to talk before. Anyway, so that puts this episode at a 6.75.
Yeah.
Not the best. Again, I think it'll depend how some of these things play out over the next few episodes, because we have four in part two. Is that right?
Yeah, I also feel like when we look back, this might have a higher ranking than we think it normally would in comparison to the rest of the season, just because it's been so long.
Yeah, that's fair.
And we're just happy to watch something.
That's true. It'll be interesting to see. But with that said, I guess we're on for next week, which, one thing I noticed about watching on Hulu is we don't get the previews for next episode anymore, which used to be such a kind of a fun little teaser, you
That
know?
is true, but I did go to YouTube to watch it because I wanted to see it.
Ooh.
We fully get the. Do you want me to tell you what we get? I mean, it's not spoiling anything, it's the trailer,
Yeah,
but
give us the teaser.
we fully get in decked out in their black couture, the witches, essentially. Like, we get
They come out from hiding,
Siobhan, we
basically.
get Nicolette,
Talia,
I think we get Talia.
Ivy.
We get Ivy, and we get them just like talking and what they're doing and they're planning. It's like toil and trouble
Yeah.
and that type of stuff.
Okay.
And that's about it. I don't know. I'm kind of tired of that.
Well, we'll see what comes of it, I guess. They're
Yeah.
not gonna be, yeah, they're not
It's
gonna
like
be
it looked like a music
happy.
video.
Maybe it will
Anyway.
be. All right, folks. Well, we appreciate you talking this through with us. Until next week. As always, you can catch us on Facebook at facebook.com/thisamericanhorrorstory and email us at thisamericanhorrorstory@gmail.com. Chris, until next time, happy hauntings.